There are only two things that came up at the business meeting that I need to share with you now. Other things are being discussed that were just threw out, but it was determined that all of us who lead in any phase of the worship will use the microphone in order to be sure that everybody is able to hear. We think we have a lapel mic somewhere. If we don't find it, we'll buy one and have it so that even the Bible teachers, Jeff, on Wednesday night and even on Sunday morning, can have a mic to use so that everybody can hear. It is not possible for us to communicate with each other if we don't hear. And so that's a simple way to take care of that. And we will begin, those of you that are leading prayer, even the dismissal prayer, if you will, come to the microphone and let's all use that. And I'm going to have to work on that on Wednesday night when I'm teaching, because I like to teach down there. And maybe we can get the lapel mic to where we can do that. The second thing, it is an announcement that I don't want to make. Jeff and Emily are moving back to Mississippi latter part of July. And I told them that in order to do that, they've got to find another young couple that'll come here. But not really. We have enjoyed their being here, and they're working with us. And we understand exactly why they're moving back. We hate to see them go. I haven't seen some of you in about 3 weeks. Some of you were gone, and I was here, and then I was gone, and you were here. Last week, I preached 10 sermons for the Liberty Church at Fayetteville. Church there has had some problems, not unlike some of the problems the church here had, and they've got a good preacher now, and I think things are beginning to stabilize, and I believe that meeting was very worthwhile. Today I preached three times at the Elkins Church, the other side of Woodbury. Preached at Bible study and worship, and then 8, and then at 12:30. If Lord willing, I have not planned, or do not plan, to spend a night out of town for the next 3 months, basically. I have three meetings in the area that I can drive to, and I am trying to get as many meetings as possible to where I close with an afternoon service and can be back here. I think between now and the latter part of August, that there'll only be one Sunday that I'll be gone both times. And so I hope to be here more than I have been, but I do appreciate the fact that you encourage and support me to be able to go and encourage these other congregations. I think it is one of the better parts of mission work that we're doing, not because I'm involved, but because of the way we are approaching it. And thanks to you. In Psalms 86 and verse 3, the psalmist said, I cry daily. When we look at the word cry, we sometimes think in terms of grief, but I don't believe that's the way it's used here, and we use it sometimes in another way to reach out for something or to ask for something or to want something. He's crying out for that, for example. The beloved 23rd Psalm goes like this: The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have heard that psalm read. We have heard it preached about. We've heard almost every word and phrase in it used. But had you ever stopped to think about the word mercy that's used toward the end of Psalm 23 and how it's used? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's just another way of saying daily. Tonight we're talking about daily mercy. His mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. The word mercy might be defined as a disposition to show kindness, compassion, and leniency. Sometimes we tend to define it by saying that it's giving a person what he needs instead of what he deserves. There are times when parents show mercy to children. They really don't give them everything they deserve as far as punishment's concerned. Maybe a little lenient. Sometimes we can go too far and be too lenient. But sometimes we do not go far enough. When you consider mercy, mercy is involved in our relationship with God, but it's also involved in our relationship with each other. In the relationship between man and God, mercy goes in one direction. God doesn't need mercy from us, but we need mercy from Him. In the man-to-man or person-to-person relationship, mercy needs to go in both directions. You need mercy from others, and you need to give mercy and be merciful to others. With those basic ideas in mind, I want to suggest about five things tonight. I've already been told that I need to make the sermon short because we're supposed to eat. And one told me she was hungry. I won't tell you who she was, but her initials are Brittany. So let's be rather short, but deal with some things that are extremely important. First, I want you to understand that mercy is a part of God's nature. God is a just God, and that word just sort of takes in the whole panorama of qualities, which means that He wants what's good and will reward what's good, but He also doesn't want what's evil and He will punish what's evil. But if it were not for the mercy of God, we would not be here tonight. We would have no opportunity of salvation. God didn't owe us salvation as a human race, and He doesn't owe any one of us salvation because man left God. God didn't leave man. And if we got what we deserved, it would be something other than what we have received. Mercy is a part of the very nature of God. Psalms 103 verse 8 says, "The Lord is mercy and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." I like that word, plenteous. 116:5, "Our God is merciful." 117:2, "For His merciful kindness is great toward us." We have a song based on that verse, don't we? 100 verse 5, "His mercy is everlasting." That'd be the same thing as saying His mercy is daily. It's regularly there. 119:64, "The earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercies." God is a merciful God. Mercy is a part of His nature. Christ is called a merciful high priest in Hebrews 2 and verse 17. And mercy is indicated in Hebrews 8:12 when it says that not only will God forgive our sins, but He will forget our sins and remember them no more when they are forgiven. That is a God of mercy. In the New Testament in Ephesians 2:4, it is said that God is rich in mercy. And time again, His mercy endureth forever. Some of our songs indicate that idea in different ways. God's nature includes mercy. And I'm thankful for that. If His nature only included justice, we would not have what we need. In the second place, mercy needs to be a part of the nature of each one of us. And that's not always the case. There are some people who seemingly just cannot show mercy to anybody. And all of us, I think, can be guilty of that to some degree. One of the Beatitudes is, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Matthew 5, verse 7. In Luke 6:36, be ye merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And if you remember in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, he prayed, taught them to pray, Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Or forgive us our debts or our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that is the only thing included in that prayer that Jesus comments about after he's given the model prayer. He adds, for if you do not forgive your brothers their trespasses, your Father in heaven will not forgive your trespasses. Have you really thought that through? If you are not forgiving toward others and you do not have mercy toward others, if that passage is true, is that not saying that God's not going to have mercy toward you? If I hold grudges toward someone else and tend to think negative about other people instead of having a forgiving attitude, what attitude is God going to have toward me? Mercy is definitely a part of the nature of God, but mercy needs to be a part of our nature. We ought to want to forgive, be willing to forgive, and forgive in the same way that God does, according to a pattern. In the third place, we need to emphasize that each one of us needs mercy. If I were perfect, I would not need mercy. If you never made a mistake, you would not need mercy. But both you and I make mistakes, and therefore we need mercy. We make mistakes that sin against God, and we need therefore His mercy, but we make mistakes sometimes against one another, and we need the mercy of each other. And it is interesting that the Bible teaches that the one who has made the mistake and the one against whom the mistake has made must both be interested in going to each other to make that mistake right. If you know that your brother has aught against you, leave your gift at the altar, go make it right with your brother, come back and offer the gift, Matthew 5. Matthew 18, if you have aught against your brother, go to him, take somebody with you, take it to the church. You know the passage. So it boils down to the conclusion that whoever we are and whatever we've done or whatever's been done against us, we need to be willing to show mercy. We need to go to one another. I think sometimes that doesn't happen. I'm afraid that we let time cover some sins instead of letting the mercy of God and the blood of Christ cover those sins. And if we let time cover them to where we just forget about them and they've not been made right, one of these days we're going to meet them again when it may be too late. We need to have mercy, and each one of us needs mercy. I like the song that starts out, "Hear me when I call." That comes from Psalms 4:1. "Hear me when I call, O Lord." The next chapter, verse 1, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. I need thy mercy, and I need the mercy of you in my direction, as you need my mercy in your direction." Each one of us needs mercy. Jesus is described in the second chapter of Hebrews as that merciful high priest, but in the fourth chapter, in discussing what he means to us and that he's able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, it says that we may come boldly to the throne of God and find mercy to help in time of need. Whether that's when we pray together as we did a few minutes ago, or whether you're praying at home or in the privacy of your own closet, or praying as you drive along the road, and I would suggest even more of that. But whenever you're praying, we can find mercy when we approach the throne of grace with boldness. And each one of us needs it. If you ever get to thinking that you do not need anybody's help and that you do not need God's help, you're in a terrible predicament. Each one of us needs mercy. Let me ask you for a moment to think about this. How does God show His mercy? We've said that mercy is a part of God's nature. How does God show His mercy? Number one, He wants to forgive. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. Number two, He provides a way of escape. No temptation taking you such as common to man. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He invites each of us to come to Him and receive His mercy. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. There's something there that's heavy that needs to be removed. That's going to involve the mercy of God. He does, as we've already said, wipes the slate clean when He forgives. It's as though it had never happened. When you and I truly repent and obey, God wipes the slate clean because of His mercy. Doing, as we said earlier, giving us what we need and not what we deserve. Now, having looked at that, let me ask another question. How do we show mercy to one another? I'm sure if all of us contributed, we could come up with a rather lengthy list. Let me share with you five or six things that I indicated. Number one, we've got to start by not being a perfectionist. And I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody when I make that point. I've always wanted to make 100 on every test that I ever took in school. I've always tried to push my kids and others to do the best that they could do. I never wanted to miss a question on a test if I could get by without it. In the work of the church, I had to overcome that because I wanted everybody to do everything they're supposed to do every day, and that doesn't happen. We need to be merciful to one another in that we do not expect perfection. Now, we know we're not perfect, but I think sometimes, at least in the subconscious, we expect perfection of other people. And I mentioned this in connection with a sermon I preached just a few weeks ago. I think that's one of the reasons we do not have more men serving as elders in the church. And it may be one of the factors that discourages some of our young men from going into preaching as a work. Because there are too many of us who expect perfection. And if we don't get it, and we won't, then we make something out of that. I believe showing mercy means that I ought to want the very best for you, and you ought to want the very best for me. Romans 12 puts it like this, in honor preferring one another. It's human nature for me to want what I want and you to want what you want before we want something for each other. But mercy includes the idea that I want what is best for my spouse, for my child, for my parents, for my brothers and sisters, and even my brothers and sisters in Christ. Along with that, and maybe a twin to it, is mercy means I'm going to look for the best. If I am looking at your life, am I looking to see the worst or am I looking to see the best? And I'll guarantee you, with each one of us, there'll be some good things and some bad. What do we emphasize in the lives of each other? What do you emphasize in your thinking when you are considering a brother or sister in Christ? Mercy will help you to look for the best. Mercy will mean that you are ready to forgive. We've had several discussions on what true forgiveness is, and I won't go into that tonight. But whatever you believe about it, there must be complete agreement on this. We must be ready and willing to forgive at all times. If I'm not ready to forgive and willing to forgive, I've got a personal problem. But if I'm merciful, I'm going to be ready to forgive. And then I think there's another side of mercy that we sometimes do not touch. And that is, we need to learn how to receive mercy. Some of us are better at giving than we are receiving. And I know it's more blessed to give than to receive in many ways. But you and I need to learn how to receive forgiveness from God and from one another. How to receive mercy. Sometimes if a person is being merciful toward us, if we're not careful, we'll interpret that as looking down on us. We need to learn to be able to receive mercy. There in Matthew 18 again, he talks about going to one another. If necessary, take somebody with you. Don't let things just go on and simmer and fester, if you know what I mean, in a spiritual sense. We need mercy. And we need to be ready to give mercy. The nature of God includes mercy. You and I should work so that our nature includes mercy, and it just sort of becomes second nature to us that that's the way we approach things. We need mercy from God, and we need mercy from each other. And we've discussed ways that God shows His mercy and ways that we can show our mercy. I would close with that passage in Matthew 5:7 again. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And a verse in Micah 6 and verse 8 that asks the question, what does God require of you? And he says, to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. That's a mouthful. Do justly, show mercy, and walk humbly before all men. If we practiced that in every sense of the word, we wouldn't lack much living the Christian life. How merciful are you? Think about it. And have you accepted God's mercy and forgiveness? Think about it. If not, if you need to be baptized for the remission of sins or need to come asking for forgiveness in prayer, come as together we stand and sing. When we walk